Hello and welcome to Kicking Tires. My name is Jimmy.
And I'm Justin.
And it is August. Wow, it's August already. August 3rd. And for the first time in a while, no EV news. All,
Yeah.
you know what?
SUVs.
All, well, no, well, yes,
Trucks.
SUVs, trucks. But let's start it off with the most exciting one here.
It's the biggest story, I think.
It definitely is the 2023 Chevy Colorado. So,
Yeah.
I mean, the Colorado's been around. It's kind of boring. I mean, other than the ZR2, no one really buys a Colorado because it's a work truck, right? A lot of it
Yeah.
is just built as a work truck at the moment. But for 2023, this is fully revamped and it looks great. Like it physically looks amazing inside and out.
Yeah.
They still have the ZR2, so you're still able to have, a vehicle that can conquer everything. I think this is the new standard.
This might be the benchmark because this reminds me of all the trucks that we see overseas or like in other markets like South America, whatever, where they don't mind their mid-sized trucks looking butch and like proper. Because you look at a Tacoma here and you look at a Tundra, and you're like, well, the Tacoma is really wimpy. Obviously, you put big enough tires, lift it enough, it will look cool, but that goes with anything, right? But the Colorado, the outgoing model, 20 been out since 2015, 7 years now. Decent truck, really. I have no complaints about it. I've been driving one the last little bit, a ZR2, and it's a great truck. I like the way it drives, better than a Ranger, better than a Tacoma, and definitely better than a Gladiator, because just the Gladiators are like
The Gladiator wasn't that bad. That s desert model, that one was actually pretty good. I actually really enjoyed that
the
desert one.
Colorado, the beauty of the Colorado, at least the outgoing one, even the ZR2, just drives like a normal vehicle. Like you don't feel like you're in like something clumsy. It's not hard to park. It's easy to see out of. It feels small. But it doesn't feel like floaty or it's like too stiff or anything. I think it's like one of these like really well-tuned vehicles. Because my brother has one, has a ZR2, and before he had a normal like LT, like a pretty base one, and then he got a ZR2 afterwards. So I've driven both, but they drive very similar, even though the ZR2 has a fancy suspension. And I'm really liking this truck because I towed with it recently to our track day. Towed our CRX with a trailer and put a barbecue in the back, carried a lot of stuff in it. Because my F-150, like I mentioned previously, it's still out, still in the body shop getting repairs, getting a new axle and stuff. So no update there really, but I love the way this new truck looks. And the beauty is, we're looking at the press release right now, and even the base model, it doesn't look crappy. Because that's not easy to achieve with, well, manufacturers in North America have made it seem like it's not easy to achieve. Because if you look at the outgoing Colorado, you look at the outgoing Tacoma, you look at the even the Gladiator, the base model is kind of disgusting, at least exterior wise. It's almost embarrassing to drive some of these. The Ranger may be the exception. I think even the base Ranger looks acceptable. But
The ridge line, come on. The base ridge line looks great.
they're only one trim.
There's three. There's three trims on the ridge line. But you know what? The Colorado does look good. Even that base trim, like you mentioned, that work
Yeah.
truck trim,
With the
actually not
crappy plastic
horrible.
grill, and it's like it looks decent. Like it has the same face, and it's got really muscular lines. Like that's something that's been missing from the mid-size market, right? It's got a flared out bed, and it looks awesome, and it has proper sized doors now. The old, well, no, actually it looks about the same.
No, I think it's about the same. The Colorado always has decent rear doors. The full quad cab, whatever you want to call it, version.
Yeah, but the interior
Woof, that
is
interior.
a It's a big upgrade.
Yeah, every Colorado comes with that 11.2 or 3-inch touchscreen. Like, it looks great inside. It looks okay. Maybe it doesn't look great, but at least it looks modern,
Yeah,
right?
it
Like,
looks
you.
good enough because like it's like at the end of the day, it's an entry level-ish truck that you know the base price point is very affordable for anyone who needs a truck with you know four-wheel drive. And I think this interior is awesome. I think it just it's the best in class, I would say. Yeah, I would say the best in class because what else is there really to compare to? Under like 35 grand starting.
Well, in this class, I mean, is this or the Ranger really, or the
There's the
Gladiator?
Tacoma, Frontier.
Tacoma's nowhere near as good. The Frontier, yes, it's been updated, but really hasn't.
Yeah, the Frontier mechanically has
The
been.
Ridgeline's the same since 2016. Like, no, this is definitely
No.
best in class
And the
interior.
Ridgeline won't be able to tow or have this much payload, I would assume.
Yeah,
Towing for sure,
the towing, I
this
think,
is
was only 6,000.
yeah. And max payload up to 1684 pounds. So that's you know, that's full size range.
Yeah.
ZR2 obviously not as good. But actually, you know what? Speaking of ZR2, so again, I towed with the ZR2 recently, and even though it's rated significantly lower, the outgoing ZR2 I think is rated 5,000 pounds. My trailer, CRX, and the stuff we put in it, about 4,000 pounds. You think, okay, I'm at 80% of the towing capacity. This truck's not going to handle it. I barely noticed it was towing. And
That's
the
good.
fuel economy showed it too, because the fuel economy driving from Richmond and Mission and back got about 16 liters per 100K, which is like a
That's not bad.
forerunner on a good day.
I don't
Like
think I've
on a good
seen
day with nothing towing
I don't think I've
behind it.
seen 16 on a foreigner before.
Yeah, and it, you know, the beauty is like it gets like 13, 12, 13 normally, which is very reasonable for this type of vehicle, I think. You know, so are
Was
the full size trucks, but
is a ZR2 the V6 or the
V6.
diesel? Oh,
No,
interesting,
diesel
interesting.
is not. I think you can probably get the diesel, but diesel's kind of problematic. They're not so new engine choices with the new model Colorado only four banger turbos, right? Across the board.
Yeah, so you
So
got three different outputs. It starts at 237 horsepower all the way up to 310, 259 pound feet of torque to 430. So they call it the normal, turbo plus, and turbo high output. The
the
turbo
turbo
plus and the turbo high, yeah, oh.
ho.
The turbo high output, it's very similar in all the design, the cooling and everything. Whereas the base one, that's actually quite different. So don't think it's just a tune on that base model. It is quite different from the turbo plus and the base motor. But on the turbo plus, you can get like a chip essentially installed from factory to make it a turbo high
Oh.
output. So that's actually kind of cool. You got technically you got four trims. You got the WT, which is the work truck, the LT, which is like one up, so you get, some more
The
features and
practical
whatnot.
model.
Yeah, the Trail Boss, which is the practical everyday off-road version. You got the LT Z71, which is like, hey, you want all the goodies in it, but you don't really need to take it off-road all the time. So you got the LT Z71, because that only gets you out of 1-inch lift versus the Trail Boss 2-inch and the ZR2 3-inch lift. So the Trail Boss, I
Wow.
think it's like that sweet spot in the range because it's a
The
brand new trim, right?
Yeah,
You
the
had Trail Boss
off-road
before
look.
for the Silverado before, but never for the Colorado. So the ZR2, sorry, the Trail Boss for the Colorado gets you a 2-inch lift, 32-inch AT tires with 18-inch wheels.
It looks great.
You got
Fender
halogen headlights in the
flares.
front, blacked out grille, blacked out fender flares. It's the one that can. It looks like it can take a beating and you won't hurt,
Yeah.
afterwards.
It's not blacked out in the sense that like you might, you know, listeners who don't see it, they might think it's a gloss black package. No, it's like matte black
It's
plastic,
just
like
plastic black,
Rubbermaid fender flares, door handles, grill, bumper, which is perfect. I think it's perfect in this type of truck.
For that kind of truck, the one that you want to just go off-road and not have to worry about bashing it up. That's the one.
And they moved up to 32-inch tire, which is nice, because I think the old one only had a 31-inch tire, which was a little bit wimpy. 32-inch is almost full-size truck size, which pretty nice.
Well, what's nice is if you want the ZR2, that gets a 3-inch lift and 33-inch tires wrapped in 17-inch wheels. 10.7-inch ground clearance, that's pretty good. And of course, the ZR2, just like before, you get the electronic front and rear diff locks, so you don't have to worry about that.
DSSV suspension.
Yeah. The Trail Boss as well as the Z71 pack, both of those come with a locking rear diff. They didn't necessarily say...
A rear locker or G80?
They didn't necessarily say if it's a G80 or real locker. I mean, some people consider the G80 a real locker, but I've off-roaded in a Trail Boss, and that G80 was horrible. It was so unpredictable. I did not like it whatsoever. But we'll see. We'll see what, you know, when they come out with it, maybe I'll be able to take one off-road and have some fun with it. But yeah, it's a super far departure from where it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so the high output version, 310 horsepower, 430 foot-pounds of torque. Mm-hmm. Horsepower, similar to the old model, really good power out of the old Colorado, even with the V6. Even 7 years ago, that thing was so ahead of its time. If you think about where the Tacoma was, where the Frontier was, there was no Ranger, there was no Gladiator. But the Colorado drivetrain-wise, I think was so far ahead. And that's what really pushed the last generation to pretty good, you know, popularity and success. I think the previous generation, the first gen with a 5-cylinder, that was a bit of a flop. Like a few people bought it because it was cheap and you can get them, you know.
Yeah, those, it was more like, of like a fleet truck.
Yeah, as a fleet truck, it was okay. But as something you would actually want to drive and live with every day, the second gen Colorado was a huge upgrade. And really, people slept on it because it's just the Colorado. Like, people don't really think anything of it.
We also have to thank that first gen Colorado because it kind of morphed into one of our favorite trucks, the H3.
H3 Alpha. Yeah, without the Colorado first gen, there would not be an H3.
which, you know, I'll leave it up to you guys, the listeners, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, looks like it's got a Goodyear Wrangler across the board for tires. It might be the new territory. It looks like it is the territory.
It is. So the Trail Boss gets the territory ATs, whereas the ZR2 gets the territory MT.
Okay. That's why the sidewall looks really aggressive on the ZR2. ZR2 again got that really aggressive cut bumper I love how that looks because it's terrible for aerodynamics, but it's amazing for off-roading and just makes the truck look badass. Not going to be a cheap truck by any means, but really fast, right? Like 430 foot-pounds in a mid-size truck, that's going to be really quick.
Well, something that's good about the new Colorado is because they actually moved the wheelbase out a little bit, that front wheel is pushed out. So you can actually get much better approach angles than you did before. It's not as good as the Gladiator because the Gladiator is basically like, you know, straight up front. But the front end of this, especially with the ZR2 with that cut bumper, it's going to be really, really good.
Yeah, and it's like this is one of the few trucks you can even get a front locker on. Obviously, Gladiator, the higher trims you can. But the Gladiator, I think, you know, as far as road manners go, it's a compromise. Like you really struggle to live with it.
And that solid front axle, yeah.
It's not a good car to own, I would say. You know, it's strong and it's got good articulation, but most people, the way people are going to use trucks, the ZR2 is going to ride great, is going to drive normal, and it fits in normal places. The Gladiator feels big. I don't know if you got that sense. It feels really long. It feels extremely long. The wheelbase, the Colorado, I've loved driving it because I've been driving it around Richmond lately, and you know, we don't have the biggest parking spots. I haven't been driving my F-150 in Richmond, in and about Richmond, because like going around these like strip malls and stuff is just not fun in a full size. But the Colorado, it just drives like a normal sedan. Even like you don't feel like you're you're suffering or having a hard time navigating in something like this. And so this is getting the 8-speed, right? Not a 10-speed.
It is an 8-speed, yes.
Which so far I've been loving that transmission. Like it has the right amount of ratios. If it's probably an improved version of what's in the outgoing model, which gets good fuel economy. It's so smooth. It is incredibly smooth.
Something that I found that was kind of cool was the wheels. It's going to be a 6 lug, 6 by 5.5. Mm-hmm. So the same as the Silverado, which isn't really common. Really? But like I saw that and I was like, oh, that's interesting. They put bigger brakes in it as well. So you got bigger front and rear rotors compared to before. I think it's like about an inch bigger.
I wonder how big you, because the ZR2 looks like it's got 17s. So how big could it be? But isn't the old one 6 lug? Yeah, the old one is 6 lug.
But this is 6 by 5.5. I think the old one wasn't 5.5.
Okay. I don't know domestic patterns. All new trucks seem to be the same bolt pattern, though. It's at 6 by 139.7. If that translates to 5 inch, I don't know. 139.7 mm.
I can't do that translation in my mind.
It is 5.5. Yes. Okay. So yeah, every truck now. This is something really nice because the new Fords I think are switching to this bolt pattern. The new Tacoma is this pattern. Ram is using this bolt pattern. So it's going to be really good. The only thing you got to be careful with is the hub bore, but I think it makes the aftermarket a lot more compelling because
a lot more fuel wheels.
Yeah, a lot easier to stock and source wheels for your truck because this is the bolt pattern to get. I think the old one might have been a 120 bolt pattern, 6 by 120. Now that I think about it, so it's a smaller diameter.
Well, they did mention it in the blurb, which I was like, oh, that has to be somewhat significant.
Yeah, it's one of these things, like the whole industry is doing these, I don't know if it's for cost cutting, maybe they can share rotors or stuff like that, you know, among different brands. Like all the Germans have switched to 5 by 112. Before we had some 5 by 100, 5 by 120, 5 by 130. But now most of the Germans are on board with 5 by 112. They're like, this is the bull pattern.
Might as well.
Yeah. Japanese are moving towards 5 by 120, which is weird. Japanese kind of always do their own thing, and they're kind of backwards in some sense.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. No, this is so badass. I really should consider this.
How do you feel about the bed size? 5'2". A little shorter than some may want, but I think it's still, you know, more than enough for a mid-sized truck. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a full 6-footer.
They're not doing a long bed, short cab.
No. So from what I can see from the blur right now, anyways, it's one cab size, one bed size, unlike the Colorado from before, when you could get that extended bed.
I've never seen, it's really rare to see that in the outgoing generation, the shorter cab option. The first generation, I did see some of the shorter cabs, but this is like this kind of crew cab is kind of.
I think the one that does, like, it's the same cab size, but it's just a longer bed. It had your standard bed, and then you have your extended. So there was two wheelbases, and there's an extended bed option.
Uh huh.
Yeah, which I thought I was thinking just like you. I was like, oh. Doesn't really make sense, but they did do that because the same thing with the Frontier, because I remember looking that up. Frontier has a standard short bed and a longer bed as well,
because I know the outgoing Colorado had like a suicide door cab too.
That I'm not sure. That I don't recall.
I don't know if they still made it, like, but at least when it first came out, it was available as a 2.5 door
thing. The double cab or whatever you want to call it.
I don't know what they call it, but I don't think it was very popular. No, I think the short bed is okay because you can always flip it down and have more bed space.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like the looks of this. However, if you're not a big fan of the looks of this, rejoice because the Canyon's almost here.
Mm-hmm. Canyon has a pretty different look. Like, we only seen a teaser so far, But it has a pretty different look, which, you know, similar to the Silverado and the Sierra. I forgot the name for a second. But the Canyon has a pretty different face with that. I don't even know what GMC calls it. It's kind of like Lexus's spindle grill.
Yeah,
But
the
you know,
grill.
the funny thing is Chevy does this grill too. Like Chevy has models that have this
They
type of
do have a
grill.
similar grill in some of their models, but not on the Colorado.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, the ZR2 Colorado gets the flow tie. So the Chevy
Right.
logo that is cut in the middle.
Got that little extra cooling.
It really doesn't
But
do a thing, but it's cool.
it was, yeah.
But the GMC Canyon, August 11th is when it's going to come out. No information on it whatsoever. The only teaser that they show is this like front
It's going
end
to be the
view,
AT4X,
the
so
AT4X, which is basically the ZR2, and you get the
ZR2.
ZR2 kind of bumper cutout on the bottom as well, because you
Except it's
see
got a
like
light bar.
60% of that front tire, like
Yeah, the pictures of ZR2 that we saw don't have a light bar. The AT4X has a light bar and like a bull bar,
yeah.
maybe a
So the
winch, but well,
ZR2
actually,
has the
ZR2
fog
does.
lights in the center. And there's this bar behind. I just don't
Yes.
know if that's the light bar or not. It kind of looks like it, but it's so hard to see in the photos. Let's see here. Let me do a little digging.
I don't see the grill light bar on the ZR2, but I think
No.
this might be accessories and
Yeah. No grill light bar, but you definitely have the fog lights in the center of that loop
yeah,
bar in the
but
middle.
just a great looking truck. I think this is gonna really take a bit of market share from Toyota. It really We really need someone to knock Toyota off their high horse because Toyota, it's such a I hate the Tacoma. Like I like it, it's literally like the worst in you know what the grossest thing about the Tacoma is that I can't get over?
The
It's like I could
interior.
the interior and specifically I don't mind the dash, I don't even mind anything. It's where you grab the door, like when you're getting out, the plastic on that door pull is the nastiest door pull you've ever felt. Like I've never felt a nastier car, and you have to pull that every time you get in and out. Like that I can't get over. Like the radio stuff like that, the infotainment, you can change that out even at least with the Tacoma. But yeah, the just the doors feel so nasty on that car. And it's like it's something that you can't avoid either. Like
It's
I
a
don't
touch
mind.
point. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I hate when journalists like reach up a foot onto the dash, like, oh, the material up here is so cheap. Oh, the material down here, you know, in your butt crack is so cheap. But like the door pull.
I worry about what my bum is on, you know.
Yeah.
That makes a difference.
Yeah, that is the thing with Tacoma. Not only is it terrible on gas, the transmission is so rough. It makes no power. It can't
Isn't it?
tow.
Didn't they update the transmission when they put in the
It's
3.5?
a six speed, but it's still so rough.
Oh.
Like you feel every shift. And I got into Colorado, I'm like, I can't tell it's shifting. I don't know what to do. Like I can't tell. I can't even tell it's running. Like because you don't hear that loud fan noise.
It's a CVT.
Yeah, it's almost as smooth as like the Colorado. Like seriously, if I don't think anyone who buys a Tacoma actually cross shops them. They just
Oh
buy
no,
because
no.
oh, it has resale value. That's
Yeah,
why I bought it. Like,
they see on YouTube, it's like, oh man, my favorite YouTuber that goes overlanding has a
yeah,
Tacoma.
it's
That's what I
reliable.
want.
It has accessories. It is.
Yeah.
It has great resale value, and that's it. Like,
Yeah.
it's. I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense.
The
But let's
Tacoma
move
is a
on.
terrible car.
Let's move on to something
Not
maybe
terrible.
not. This is great. This is a
Yeah.
great truck, and it's the Maverick Tremor. So the Tremor is a brand new name to, well, not a brand new name. It's a relatively new name to Ford. They had the Tremors on the F-150 first, and then they put it on the Ranger. What it is kind of like one-upping the FX4 before you go full hardcore into like the Raptors.
Raptors.
But the Tremor for the little Maverick. you know, super cool, because this unobtainium type vehicle, and then putting just a cooler package on top, I absolutely love it.
It actually gets a lift now.
Yes, you get a 1-inch lift. I know it's not a lot, but come on, it's a,
for a unibody crossover base vehicle, 1 inch is actually like a solid amount.
Yeah, and I'm sure if they put in like 2 inches, you know,
you're gonna lose all your down travel, and like they gotta re-engineer it.
Yeah, and then the shocks, like
it does get new shocks and springs, but I think articulation wise you're probably not gaining that much with the 1 inch. You might be losing some down travel, gaining some up travel, but it's hard to say.
I mean, if they lifted 2 inches, they probably have to like warranty axles like every year. Exactly. So the 1 inch is
well, that's a nice thing that you mentioned too, is it gets new axles. New transmission, heavy duty transmission, upgraded half shafts.
Oh, nice.
So that's, so they actually took it pretty seriously, which, you know what, for the $3,400 they charge for this, I think it's pretty reasonable.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
It's really not, because you're getting the trick diff out of the Bronco Sport. So you got kind of the dual clutch differential. It can send power wherever it needs it, and you can lock it, you can center lock it. It's not a real locker like a transfer case, but you can center lock it and rear diff lock, which is more than, well, it has no real competitors, I would say. But as far as crossovers go, this is like insane to have this much. Like I look at this as a crossover, because I think it is
that's the type of person. It's more of a, if you're shopping like maybe the Bronco, but you're like, you know what, sometimes I do need truck things.
And you know, sometimes just having the bed is nice, because like we had a greasy barbecue in ours, and I had to move for our track day. We had to recycle a bunch of cans and bottles, and you know, stuff spills out. You don't want that in the back of your SUV, right? Like, even if there's no carpet, it's still a hassle. Whereas something like this, you know, you just hose it out afterwards, spill oil, spill grease, spill soda in it, doesn't matter. That's the nice thing about a truck. It's not a lot of room, it's not a very long bed, but it's meant to do truck things. You move dirt, you move wood, and it all leaves crap behind that you don't want to deal with, and you want it to be easy to maintain. But yeah, going on about this Tremor package. We get the trick diff. We got trick software. So we've got kind of an off-road cruise control. They call it trail control. We don't have the full-size Broncos, turn assist feature, which I don't think is really necessary.
No, it's such a small truck anyways. You don't need that.
And the cool thing is, you know, you're getting 235, 65, 17, which is a decent crossover tire size, but you're getting a full Wild Peak AT3W, not the AT Trails, the full-on, you know, all-terrain tire that you would find on, you know, your typical mid-size or full-size truck. Obviously, this is like the passenger variant, so it won't kill your fuel economy, but it's a really good tire, and it's going to give it legitimate off-road chops. We're getting drivetrain upgrades, suspension upgrades, a little bit of a body upgrade, because the front bumper has been revised for a little bit more approach angle, skid plates, good recovery points in orange.
I wonder if it actually has like actual metal skid plates.
That I'm curious about. I feel like if they're gonna call it a Tremor, it must.
It needs to have some underbody.
It might not be like huge, but because if you think about it, it's got an inline four engine. It's not much to, you know, packaging wise, it should be easy to protect that.
Yeah.
Because it's sideways. It's just, and it's, you know, kind of trans axle kind of setup, I would assume. So it's kind of nice.
Speaking of engine, only one engine option for this. You cannot get the hybrid, unfortunately. It's the 2-liter turbo.
Normal Maverick.
So the Maverick, anytime you get four wheel drive, you have to get the turbo. The 2-liter turbo, which, you know, I mean, I had the hybrid for a week. I loved it, but I can understand why. The 2-liter turbo is the one that you would want in those off-road scenarios,
and it wouldn't really make sense to, because you want that differential out of the Bronco sport. Like if, and you know what, this is gonna be a lot of fun. I think you could probably lift it a smidge more, slap on some 30s or 31s, and this thing would be nuts. It'd be great, kind of do everything type of vehicle.
Yeah.
Because it's got an okay amount of cabin space. It's not
bad, not to be actually.
Too precious with it. For me, it's a little bit small, but I think there are people that who were considering overlanding crossovers, but this just does a little bit better because it.
Well, I mean, yeah. If you're overlanding on a crossover, like most people get one of those roof pop-up tents, mm-hmm. and putting a pop-up tent on the back of a bed is technically a little bit safer because you don't have to go that high up, and it's a lot easier for you to manage as well because it's not all the way up there. And you know, from your day to day, you don't have to think about, oh right, I have a rooftop tent on the top, I can't go to mall parking lots. Because how many people do we know that have rooftop tents, don't bother taking them off because they're just so heavy to take them off yourself. That you can't go out, you have to buy another car. Like,
yeah,
this is the one trick pony, really, right? You take this,
it can be everything. A lot of things to a lot of people. And I think the Maverick is getting some love. Like, I see people, you know, I was skeptical at first because I think like people would not receive this type of car well because it's kind of like, I don't know, it was targeted as like a more feminine vehicle. And so I get that some people would look down on it and just, you know, it's like owning a Chihuahua or something like that. But the Maverick, you know, I think people understand, you know, this is meant to do something else. And it's really the only option in this segment. It's kind of one segment car. But the Tremor does just make it so much cooler. And it's not very expensive. You can get also a Trevor appearance package, which I think you should skip because you're just getting a gray roof, graphics on the side, gray mirror caps. Like for $2,000, that package, not really worth it. But for $3,400, even if you're not seriously off-roading it, it's still cool to have this package because it looks better. It's got orange accents everywhere. It's got cooler wheels and tires. Just overall, I think the Tremor is not half bad for what they're charging.
Well,
and it's more noticeable than like the full size trucks.
Something that I found that was kind of cool was the Tremor packets available on XLT as well as Lariat trim. Is that true?
Yes,
that's
both,
great.
Both models.
That's great. Like for some people, it's like you may not want the Lariat. You might not want the leather seats that's on the inside. You know, you might not want all those other things that the Lariat trim comes with. You can step down to XLT at the Tremor package and get a more reasonably priced version of the Maverick. And that, to me, that just sounds like a better deal.
Yeah, the XLT is very practical. For me, I think that the deal breaker was no keyless, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's true.
To me is like the 2022... I can't buy a new car that doesn't have keyless.
Yeah, the XLT Maverick that I had no keyless. I had a switchblade key that I had to lock and unlock. I let my wife drive it, and she was like, how do you start it? I was like, well, let me show you this thing called a key.
Yeah, it's just kind of ridiculous. My F-150 has a key, which, you know, I'm okay with given how old the truck is and what I paid for it, but... in 2022, if I'm buying a new truck, I better be seeing that key. And that's one thing that Jeep does well is they let you option it even on the lower trims. Toyota does it pretty well. They kind of push the smart key on most of their
Toyota packs. Doesn't put smart key in like their Forerunner like last year or something.
Forerunner, because the Forerunner is the car that is terrible and they don't care about. Like it sells itself.
I'm pretty sure they did the same thing with the Tacoma as well.
Tacoma, the new generation, like the current generation.
Yeah.
Most trims have it.
Okay.
I haven't seen too many without it. I think only like the base, like SR5 doesn't have it. But like if you go TRD off-road and up, they all have it. But most of their cars, like same with the RAV4, only the LE model doesn't have the smart key, which honestly, if you just made every car with it, it would probably be cheaper than to have like they're two different keys,
Yeah.
two different sets of door handles and stuff like that, which
It
it
probably
just
would
makes
be.
sense. Yeah. It can't cost much, but it does make a big difference as far as owning a car and living with it day to day.
Yeah, for sure. Let's move over to the last topic. The last
Last
topic of
news
today.
story of this week, because so this is like targeting kind of more traditional crossover buyer, which is the Mazda CX-50, which we know about the CX-50. We've seen the CX-50, but it's the Meridian Edition, which we also knew about because even the dealers were talking about this
And
before.
yeah, when they initially announced it, they were talking all about this as well. So like everyone knew about it, but we just get full
Just got
details now.
confirmed details. Yeah,
So
it's not too much more than the base.
yeah. So okay. So the Meridian is the off-road package that you add on top of the top trim. In the US it's 2800. In
Off-road
Canada,
package,
yeah, off-road quotes.
quote
In
unquote.
Canada is $2,500 more. What you get is not much, to be honest. You're not getting much for 2,500, but I think it's still about what it's worth. So it's definitely not as good of a deal as that trimmer, let me tell you that, that's for sure. So there's two color options for the Meridian. You can either get it in the Zicorn sand, which is like the green sandy beige that you see all CX-50 in, or the polymetal gray, which is a really, really beautiful gray that you can get. The interior is always going to be that terracotta brown interior, which is a great interior color. No problems with that. The upgrades are, or downgrade, depending on how you think about it, an 18-inch wheel with Falcon AT tires in 225/60 ATs. Oh, I see that you put in that AT3Ws don't come in this size.
So like we talked about just now with the Maverick Tremor, that has the full size or the Big Daddy AT3W, which is kind of like a gold standard all-terrain tire. This is getting the AT Trails, which is more of a everyday kind of tire with a cool looking sidewall, a little bit more off-road chops than your standard all-season tire, but nothing too amazing. One thing I should mention that, about these AT tires, though, even though they're just the trails, they're not really a hardcore off-road tire. For Canadians, if you think about it, you're getting an all-weather tire with this. So it saves you the hassle of buying,
Snow tires.
owning two sets of tires. Out of the box, you have snow tires rather than just a basic M&S, all-season tire. So I think
Interesting.
that is something worth noting. Just being in a tire business, but they're not a very impressive off-road tire, but it looks cool, and I don't think anyone's realistically taking this thing too off-roady because you look at it and it's a small size. It's a 225/60 18. This is just a standard like Forester RAV4 stock size 28.5 inch tire. It's not a real like off-road size, and it doesn't look like there's room to run much more tire. I look
No.
at the fender and the cutout just doesn't seem like it's that accommodating. And I
No, it
think
really
this is
isn't.
like this is kind of Mazda's packaging. They're just not great at it. You just never get a lot of room for your money, or a lot of room for your footprint, I should say. It's not for your money. Because yeah, it's got big fender flares, and at the end of the day, it just doesn't get you anywhere.
Yeah. So let me just go back here. So the 2,500 Canadian that you get, 18-inch wheels and tires. You also get different headlight surrounds. They're blacked out. You get different rocker panels, and there's that graphic that's on the hood. So it's this blacked out spot on the hood, so it's less reflective. Jeeps do it, and that's really all you get for the 2,500. Now, like you said, you're in the tire business. I mean, can you price out what that would look like roughly?
I mean, a set
18
of
inch wheels with those tires, are we
winter
looking
wheel
around
and tire.
2,500?
Yeah. realistically, OEM quality wheel and tire. I could see that, but
Okay.
it's not.
So that's why, so that's where I'm kind of struggling here. Like, generally speaking, when you add on packages from an OEM manufacturer, it's like you, it's generally less than going with an aftermarket just because, like, they have bulk buying power, right? And of course, it's a package on top. You're not getting the standard 20s and 18s. If you go down the aftermarket route, you have the 20s and you can get the 18s, right? So you have that as an option. This, you lose that. You just get the 18s, which is kind of weird. But you can say your car is a Meridian. That could help with your resale value as well.
What else does this Meridian package really
That's
come with?
really it. I mean, the
I
engine's
don't
the
get it.
same, the off-road modes are exact same. You have that optional Apex package if you want, which adds on the roof rack crossbars, a roof platform, which is basically a rack, splash guards, and a different hood graphic, which I don't know how much more different it can get. And that's for additional $1,235 US, but 49250 minus 47850, it is 1400 Canadian. So, like, do you really need all that? I mean, it's not like it's a lot, but you're still paying, like, for, like, comparing that to a CX50 Turbo, it's almost $4,000 more for this Meridian pack and the Apex pack. I don't know. To me, might not be so worth it. I would maybe just stick with the CX50 GT Turbo. That's 45,000
Well,
Canadian, and then
and
I'll
just
just get
look at
some.
the aforementioned cars, right? We talk about the Maverick Tremor for 3 grand. You're getting a lot of off-road capability added on top of the regular, be it an XLT or an FX4. And same with the Colorado. You look at the Trail Boss, you look at the Z71, and these are legitimate off-roady upgrades. The Meridian just feels lazy. They're talking about how it stands out, how unique it is, and it's just for show. And
I think it
I
stands
don't
out
know
in a
if
Mazda
people,
showroom. I think that's more like what they're saying.
well, and they'll slap 6 grand of dealer added accessories on it. They'll put a bike rack on it, they'll put a kayak on top of it and stuff like that, and it will look kind of cool. But I don't know if you're really fooling anyone, with this SUV. And that was the whole CX50 as a concept, it kind of didn't make sense, but it looks cool. Like, it's a good looking, it's a handsome crossover.
Well, I
But
actually just picked up the CX50 and I must say it drives so good. Like the way that it
better than a
handles on the road,
CX5
I
or
think it's better
exactly
than,
the same?
I think it's actually a little bit better than a CX5.
I can't imagine there being many real differences
I just,
mechanically.
the CX5 feels a little bit more top heavy. I mean, if you look at it in terms of like the overall size, the CX50 is squished down. It's wider, whereas the CX5, it is higher up. It just feels like it's a little bit more planted. I mean, I only driven it for like 2 days, so I can't really 100% say. I'll be able to, take it for a little bit more of an adventure this weekend and really say exactly how it is. But I just think, like, at the price that it is, the Meridian without that Apex pack at 47,000, it is a lot because the RAV4 TRD Trail, whatever it's called, with that TRD off-road package, it's 44,000, right?
Which
So,
is
like,
still a lot cheaper.
it's quite a bit cheaper. Yes, the RAV4 doesn't have as much power as a CX50. The interior isn't as nice, but it's, it has a TRD off-road badge on
It's
the
a
rear.
Toyota, so you get it back with reliability, with not falling apart after 5 years,
And
without
our
the
resale
rust
value.
issues, without the rust and build quality issues.
The rust issues has been addressed. None really, like 2010 and newer Mazda products are much better.
2010 2015, maybe.
Okay,
but
maybe
even the new stuff, I showed you that brand new Mazda 3 with surface rust on it. Like,
yeah, that's maybe more than... that's maybe a one-off.
Yeah,
my brother-in-law's Mazda 3 or Speed 3, barely any rust on it.
His is the exception, though. Like, most Mazda 3 of his generation are disgusting underneath. Like,
well, the first gen Mazda 3 was much worse, but yeah,
they've all fallen apart. But it's generally like Mazda gotta cut costs somewhere. So,
yeah, I feel like they're getting better though. You know, around 2015, 2016 and up, I feel like they're getting a lot better. But yeah. What else is comparable with the CX-50? That's really it.
It's really the RAV4. Forester. Forester Wilderness.
Oh, Wilderness, yeah. How much is one of those?
There, again, it's cheaper. It's definitely cheaper.
Oh, and the Forester Wilderness, you get the...
marginally better engine.
You get the...
You don't get the turbo. You get the bigger...
No, Wilderness gets the turbo. Wilderness. No, that's right. Forester, you don't get the turbo at all.
Only the Outback.
Ah, right. Yeah, Wilderness is 39,000. I keep forgetting that the Forester doesn't get the good engine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Darn. So it's got the capability, but it's 10 grand cheaper than the Meridian. So you can kind of cut it some slack.
Outback is 42,000. That's a bigger vehicle.
Good power. It's a Subaru.
Symmetrical all-wheel drive.
Yeah, so it's a lot more capable, despite being huge. The Wilderness has freaking... I remember we had one in the shop. We did a block heater install. Because the customer was taking their Outback Wilderness up north, like to the Yukon or something. So they needed a block heater. And that car's got diff skids. I'm like, they're serious about this. And then you see Mazda here with their Meridian package. You're like, you're calling this an off-road package, really? Like, it's really hard to take you seriously right now.
Who knows? Maybe they're not putting in the press release. Underneath, they have skid plates.
They
probably not.
There's no way.
I'm going to check that CX-50 that I have downstairs. I want to see if it has anything underneath.
Well,
I'll let you know.
My Miata has a skid plate, kind of. It's got a metal oil pan that has, for some reason, has like 10 bolts holding it on. Like, it's very hardcore, but I think because of the low car, they don't want you destroying your oil pan. So there's kind of a skid plate in that sense. But all the CX-5s and stuff that come in the shop, they all got plastic under trays.
Makes sense.
I don't expect the CX-50 being any different.
No, totally makes sense. And that's really it for this week. Anything else you want to go over?
Let's talk about the GR86 drama, just because it's been in the news a lot, at least among our track and enthusiast circles. It's kind of important because if you're not aware, the GR86 drama, and I guess it would extend to the BRZ, although haven't heard about it
much. Same factory, right?
I'll just make it quick, is that they're having issues with their oil pickup, because there's basically RTV, the sealant, there's gray sealant clogging up their pickups and causing oil starvation, blowing engines, basically. You're going to need a new engine after this if your car has this issue. Now, that in itself is not that big of an issue. It's the first model year, new engine. There's going to be some kinks in manufacturing. The issue is how service departments have been handling it. There's one guy on social media having a lot of issues with his car, brought in because the engine blew up, and this dealership voided his warranty and said, you're not covered because we saw that you autocrossed your car. We saw you drifting someone else's car, different color. And because of that, you're abusing your car and you're not warranted. Now, that's not to say, I want to make this clear, because people are like, Toyota's being assholes about this. But it's not Toyota. This is Gulf States Toyota. That's the distributor. And whoever the dealer is, working with this customer. They're like, get rid of it. But that's not Toyota USA. That's not Toyota Canada. That is just one dealer, one, probably even one service advisor. That's why service advisor is really important. Having a good relationship with your service department is really important if you want your warranty. Because they have a lot of flexibility, but yeah, it's rough because you're promoting, you want up top, you have Toyota corporate promoting the GR86 as this track car, sports car, having their GR track days, all the marketing material, the car sliding everywhere. And it's really hypocritical when you have a dealer who is representing your brand saying, you know what, you did what they did in the marketing content, blacklisted, you're done, there's no warranty. And this is an unmodified vehicle. That's something that's really important to mention. It's not like this guy boosted it, cranked up the PSI, and blew his engine. It's a stock car. And the RTV issue, that's not something that you can really affect because that's something that happened at the factory level. When they put this engine together, they either put too much RTV sealant in there or something that caused this engine to fail. And there's been a few cases of it just with the GR86 chassis alone, which two things I've seen some people in other group chats and communities, and they're like, oh, I was gonna buy this car, but now it seems like it's a piece of crap. There's three, maybe four confirmed cases out of thousands sold. So really, it's a 0.00000 something percent chance that this would actually affect you. But it would still be nice to see Toyota back this product because at the end of the day, this is the message you want to send. And so it's really important for Toyota to make this right, I think. Because honestly, I'm looking at the GR Corolla and I'm like, this car is going to blow up too. Because it's the power per horsepower is so high, or not power per horsepower, power per liter, power to displacement ratio. There's no way that car is going to withstand a lot of abuse. Because look at the Type R. The Type R cannot. The Type R hasn't really like been known for blowing up just because I think the way people drive them, but you can easily max out the temp gauge on a Type R, and I don't see the GR Corolla being any different because it's built around a Corolla platform, and it's putting out a lot of power for what it is. And even with the GR Yaris, we hear people in Japan overheating them. So imagine with more weight and I don't know, a lot of heat, that's the issue. Like we just came back from a really hot track day from the Ridge this weekend. All cars left really upset, I would say. Like even the GT4, which is a naturally aspirated car meant for this kind of stuff, it was having a really hard time at 36 Celsius ambient temperature. The car was making less power. It just feeling slow. And with turbo cars, it's usually worse. And I think this is one of the reasons why I don't think the GR Corolla is going to flip as strongly as a lot of these speculative buyers are. There's so many guys speculate cars like the M4 GTS, like another speculative car, the Focus RS, the cars that people think, well, I'm going to make money on this. I'm going to put my order in. Like, good luck. I like that this is gonna hurt GR Corolla a bit because I think people need to get off their high horse. I
Well,
think the same about the FL5.
I'm curious what, Toyota US will say about this, 'cause I'm sure they're gonna say something. They have to at this
They've
point
been
because
asked
if
about it, but they're just like, we're investigating at
right.
this point.
So they have to have some sort of resolution sooner or later. And when that does come out, that's gonna affect, like you said, that's gonna affect how their future sales will kind of go. Hopefully,
Yeah.
I mean, it's RTV.
Because
It
you don't,
happens.
but as an owner, you have no way of knowing whether you're affected. So that's a scary thing, right? Because you're like, am I driving a ticking time bomb or am I not? But that alone is
Well, It's a boxer four cylinder. It's a ticking time bomb, anyways.
The previous one was super reliable. Like, overall, yes, they've had cases like this where people blew their engine for no good reason. But in the grand scheme of things, for how many were track and autocross, they're pretty reliable cars.
Yeah. I mean,
whereas the STI, you could blow it on the street, like just driving normally, which on their stock tune, you could blow it up. So that's
one of my colleagues has a 2012 Forester, has 150,000 on it. He just got his head gasket done because that's his normal maintenance.
Mm-hmm. It's not super expensive though.
Head warped.
Oh, if you let it get too far, then yes.
Yeah, head warped. He told me the mechanic that tore it apart just told him buy a new car. It wasn't worth it.
Sounds about right.
All right. I think that's really it for this week, though. Anything else you want to add on?
No, we're pretty good for time.
Awesome. Well, got some adventures coming up, but we'll talk about that in future episodes. Mm-hmm. Thanks, everyone. Take care.
See you next time.